just so many things that we treat traditionally with drugs that if you have your hormones optimized, especially testosterone in men, you will a lot of those diseases go away without side effects.
Welcome to the Balance Wellness Solutions Podcast with pharmacist Dr. Courtney Sanfelice, where we will discuss all things related to health and wellness, getting to the root cause of health issues, and learning how to create a balance to obtain all of your wellness goals. Hot topics including CBD, gut health, nutrition, immune boosters, Ayurvedic health, women's health, essential supplements, and so many more. Here's your host, Courtney Sanfelice.
Dr. Courtney Sanfelice here today with Sean Needham, who is one of my favorite recurring guests. He is a pharmacist, a compounding pharmacist, and a hormone genius. And he is back today to talk about testosterone in men. We had talked about testosterone in women quite a few weeks back on the podcast. And today we are focusing on the dudes. So welcome, Sean. How are you?
Oh, I am doing great. And thank you for having me back on. It's always such an honor. And thank you for that introduction. Hormone genius. I love it.
I love it too. I love it that you are. Every time you're on, I learn more and more from you about hormones, about our bodies, both men and women. And you just know so much and have so much education to give. So I'm happy that you're on today to share.
Yeah, well, thank you. And one thing I have to do is I have to, put my wife into this because my wife's also a pharmacist. Her name is Janet. And, you know, without her, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. And we talk hormones all day long. And that's really one of the reasons why we, are geniuses, as you so put it, because that's all we do. We've specialized in hormones for quite a few years now. And that's almost exclusively over 95% of what we do at our pharmacy practice is compound hormones for women and men. So, and we love it. We absolutely love it because it is so rewarding because we see people getting better and we have daily conversations with people where they thank us and say, you know, thank you for balancing my hormones and, you know, getting rid of some of these symptoms and making me feel better. And I will tell you, in traditional pharmacy, you being a pharmacist, you should know this. When's the last time a person ever thanked you for dispensing a blood pressure medication or a cholesterol medication? When did they say, Courtney, thank you for giving me that cholesterol medication? Answer is never, right? Right. I know. That's kind of a rhetorical question. But, you know, we get that all the time with hormones. It's like, because people feel better and they prevent disease. And I'm going to go into that a little bit, with how testosterone helps in men to prevent some diseases. So, yeah, thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. I'm excited to hear all of that. So I know you guys, you and Janet are both awesome. And it is, it's awesome because it's part of your daily life and it's what you do all day. And that's why I call you both geniuses, because you know what you're doing. You see it, you learn from your patients, you learn every day. You know, you've been doing this for how long now with hormones? I mean, we were just talking about this before we logged on, like where, you know, before it was even like a thing where you guys were compounding it, where, you know, doctors looked at you like, what are you doing with that? And, it's just amazing what you're doing. And I think that I'm curious to learn. So talk to me, what do you feel like you, like when you're in the compounding pharmacy and you are helping a guy out with testosterone, where does it start? What do they come to? Do they come to you, to the doctor? Where does it start? Where does the process start? Because I know I get questions like this from guys a lot in the pharmacy, and I usually just refer them to their primary doctor. I don't even know where to tell them to go.
Yeah, no, those are great questions. And we work with a lot of doctors that specialize in hormone replacement. Okay. So, and we refer to those same doctors. We've been doing this for almost 24 years now. And we found that referring somebody back to their primary care doctor, if they're not educated on hormone optimization, is just a waste of all of our times. So we don't even do that anymore. We just send them to specialists that we work with and know that you're not going to have to educate them and say, well, you know, this is what you want the level to be. And not that I don't mind doing that, because I do that all the time with prescribers. But what I really want is a doctor to have an open mind and not just say what's normal and what's optimal, you know, because in men, for instance, you know, when somebody comes in and they come into us and they'll and they might have low testosterone. So first of all, probably in their 40s or 50s, you know, could be older, not usually younger. We do get some men that are younger, but most of our men that are on testosterone therapy are over 40. Hormone levels, well, men's testosterone levels actually start declining at, you know, in our late teens, early 20s, because it's really sky high there during puberty. But usually you don't start seeing a big decline in any symptoms of low testosterone until early 40s. So I'll start asking some of the questions. So do you have, you know, you can already look at them. So when they're in their pharmacy and you're looking at them, you can ask them, and we do a lot of phone consults too. So you can't always look at them, but it's like, if you can't look at them, you see that they have just that weight gain around the middle, that, you know, you could just see it. It's just like even skinny men, you know, they'll have this, you're like, well, you've been thin most of your life. You got this weight gain around the middle. You know, that can be a sign of low testosterone. The big question for men is do you have decreased libido? Yes. You know, my wife and I, we used to have a very active sex life. I don't feel like having sex hardly anymore. What about erectile dysfunction? Do you have erectile dysfunction? Yes, I do have erectile dysfunction. Okay. Well, those are two signs of low testosterone. Those are two very big signs of low testosterone. Erectile dysfunction is not always just because of testosterone. Obviously, you know that as a pharmacist, but that can be a sign. What are some other signs? And this, as a pharmacist or any healthcare provider, is a big red flag that we hardly ever catch. High cholesterol. Do you have high cholesterol? Yeah, I went to the doctor a few years ago, and for the first time in my life, I have high cholesterol. Well, testosterone helps to lower cholesterol and normalize cholesterol. So if you don't have optimal testosterone, your cholesterol might be high because of that. So that's a red flag right there if somebody's on any kind of drug for cholesterol. What about depression? You know what? I went to the doctor about a year ago, and I was just feeling down. I was feeling tired. I was depressed. So my doctor gave me Prozac. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, this is just, we hear this all the time, over and over and over again. Well, do they check your testosterone? No. Okay. Well, testosterone is a mood elevating hormone, period. It makes us feel better. Okay. So you don't lack Prozac. You don't lack Lipitor for your cholesterol. You might lack testosterone. So let's fix the problem, not just treat symptoms. I believe hormones are the first, you know, Courtney, you're big into functional medicine, and I love functional medicine, you know, fixing problems instead of treating symptoms. And when I talked about some of the symptoms, high cholesterol, decreased libido, depression, let's fix the underlying cause, which is low hormones, low testosterone. Let's not just treat the symptoms, you know, with certain drugs. So that's where the process starts. And then we send them to a specialist that specializes in hormones. And we probably refer 1 to 2 patients a day to people, probably at least, from all over the country. So, then the typical process is they go to that doctor and they do blood draws, and then they look at their hormones and they balance their hormones from there. So, you know, yeah, it's very, very rewarding. And, you know, patients just, you know, feel better. It prevents a lot of disease states. You know, let's think about other disease states. I mean, we don't talk about this a lot with men, but osteoporosis is real. We know about it for women, but men get osteoporosis also, usually later in life. And is it from, you know, we know about estrogen and osteoporosis for women, but do men get osteoporosis from a lack of estrogen? No, they get osteoporosis from a lack of testosterone. So do they need some fancy drug to, you know, reverse the osteoporosis and prevent the osteoporosis? No, they need testosterone. And I have an ongoing challenge, and I'm just going to say it on this, on your podcast today, Courtney. I challenge any healthcare professional, pharmacist, doctor, any scientist, anybody in the world, I challenge them to find a better drug for building bone than testosterone, period. I'm waiting. Please let me know if there is one, because there is not one. I guarantee you. And what other bone building drug has a side effect of increased erections, decreased weight gain around the middle, decreased cholesterol, increased energy, decreased depression? What if we had a drug that did all those things? Well, we do. It's called testosterone.
And it's so awesome. And it just brings it to like, it's like right in my face, because it makes me like, obviously I see all of this in the pharmacy, right? So you see these men that are coming in for their cholesterol medications. You see these men who are in pretty decent shape with that extra weight, you know, and a lot of them don't come to the pharmacist with the approach of, hey, you know, I'm feeling this way or that way, or even would think testosterone. So even in my own practice, I'm trying to think of how in the pharmacy I can bring it to life to people to say, you know, hey, I can help with this. You know, every day when I, you know we talk about this all the time, when I'm filling my little baskets up and sending them down and, you know, oh, they just got put on an antidepressant. Oh, look, we're filling out their cholesterol meds and a couple others, you know, how do I like even intervene? Like, what's an appropriate way to intervene to be like, hey, you know, I can help you with something here. You know, have you gotten your testosterone levels checked? Is it something that, you know, again, I wouldn't want to embarrass anybody in the pharmacy, but I feel like the education is not there. You know, like, I love that you're on here telling this information and sharing this, but it's not out there enough. It's not out there enough to the general public to say, hey, maybe I should get my testosterone levels checked. A lot of doctors, again, won't say, hey, let's check your testosterone levels. They're going to write the prescriptions for the other things to deal with the matter at hand. They're not going to fix the big picture and get to the root cause, you know, which is what we do with functional medicine.
Well, and let's speak of some other things that we treat symptoms and yet we don't fix the problem. Now, I get it. Diabetes is, you know, in my opinion, diabetes, well, it's not just my opinion. It is truth that diabetes is mostly a dietary issue for sure. Type 2 diabetes.
Agreed.
And yes, type 2 diabetes is reversible. You don't need drugs. You need to change your lifestyle. And if you don't know how to do that or what to eat, talk to somebody like yourself, Courtney, and you know, you can reverse diabetes. You don't need to be on medication. So, but testosterone can help to make people more insulin sensitive. It helps to decrease visceral fat. And as we know, visceral fat can cause more insulin resistance. So testosterone can definitely help for type 2 diabetes. It's not, and I tell people, just to clarify, I tell people this all the time. You know, testosterone hormones are a piece of the puzzle. They're not the answer to everything. You know, this is one of the reasons why we talk about diet, lifestyle, sleep, exercise, and hormones are a piece of that puzzle. You're not just going to have a crappy diet and be sedentary and take testosterone and you're just going to be healthy all of a sudden. It just doesn't work that way. So you do need to do the other things right. So same with diabetes. Yes, testosterone can help make you more insulin sensitive, but it's not the answer for you to still eat, you know, a horrible diet. Blood pressure, testosterone's been shown to lower blood pressure. And of course, you know, if it lowers visceral fat and increases lean body mass, it's gonna decrease blood pressure. So just so many things that we treat traditionally with drugs that if you have your hormones optimized, especially testosterone in men, you will, a lot of those diseases go away without side effects. In fact, I just mentioned side effects, if you can call them the side effects of, you know, increased erections, increased lean body mass. I mean, those are the side effects of testosterone. So, and really with the doses that we do, so normally we recommend a topical testosterone. You do not have to get injections. I'm not a big fan of injections, and here's why. Injections have peaks and valleys. Our skin is designed wonderfully and incredibly to prevent poisons from being absorbed. Anytime you bypass that barrier with an injection, you can cause more problems. So the biggest problem with an injection is it's an injection, right? So you have needles, you have syringes. Some people don't want to inject themselves. Some people don't want their wife to inject them or go into the doctor's office to inject them. You know, you also have risk of infection, possibly. Yeah, however, that is rare with injections, sub-Q injections. But here's one of the problems with testosterone injections. Immediately after injection, you get what's called a peak, as you know. That's, you know that, Courtney. So you get a high peak afterwards because it's going into your bloodstream right away. Even the quote-unquote depot shots, you still get an immediate peak right afterwards. And when testosterone peaks, it converts to estradiol through aromatase. And then you have a bigger chance of getting gynecomastia, which is women-like symptoms from estradiol. Men can grow breasts, actually. I will say with topical testosterone, I've never seen it. And we actually the only pharmacy in the nation that I know of that has ever done a study on the absorption of testosterone over time in men. And what we did is we did a study where they applied it 1 hour after, or they applied it and we tested their blood 1 hour after, 2 hours after, 6 hours after. We tested 12 and 24 hours also. We didn't report on that in the study, but what the study showed is, I mean, within an hour, you're reaching peak levels, and 6 hours later, it's a flatline curve. 6 hours later, it's even going up a little bit. Starts going down at 12, and it's back on the baseline at 24 hours. So you apply it every morning underneath the scrotal area. Why the scrotal area? The scrotal area is thin skin, great blood flow, less risk of transfer to somebody else. Like if you apply it to your upper arm and chest, you don't want your wife or your kids or whoever, your dog, if you're holding, because I say that because I know somebody that they were holding their cat after applying their testosterone, their cat got symptoms of high testosterone. The veterinarian caught it. So it's real. Well, if it's in your scrotal area, there's a lot less chance of that. Not as great a chance of that. So it's a flatline curve. We know that it's absorbed consistently, reliably that way, without the side effects of the injections and the high peaks and valleys. And it follows diurnal variation. What does that mean? Diurnal meaning daily. Our bodies are, you know, we have a daily circadian rhythm in our body. And we produce testosterone the most during the morning and during the day. And then it slowly goes down at night. When you apply the testosterone underneath your scrotal area, it mimics our diurnal variation of testosterone. Once weekly injections, even twice weekly injections, don't do that. Your testosterone is up and down all over the board. That's not how our testosterone is produced in the body. So I think applying it underneath the scrotal area once a day in the morning after showering is a great way to deliver testosterone. And we have a study to actually show that.
And it was funny, just as you started talking about application and what you do, that was actually going to be my next question for you. What is the best way? Because, you know, we have a few, not many, but we still have a few people that come in and get the, you know, injectable vials that do, you know, their couple times a month injections. And, you know, again, you know, where do you cross that line on, you know, talking to an older gentleman of like, hey, do you think you should talk to your doctor about that? Because, you know, there's a better way. Again, trying to help from a pharmacist's point of view. But like I said, there's a couple people that still do that. We have the compounding pharmacy where, you know, where I think most of our people go that are in need and are using it, like you said. But the people that are not, you know, how to help them, how to let them know that there is a better way.
Well, and I will tell you, you know, it is uncomfortable at first. And we've had pharmacists that have worked for us, you know, that they're uncomfortable talking about some of those things at first. But, you know, we're pharmacists and we should be comfortable. And it does take some time to get comfortable. But it just starts by asking the question. And sometimes there's ice-breaking questions or, you know, an ice-breaking conversation. And so for obvious reasons, most men would not have a problem talking to me about testosterone, you know, because I'm going to relate to them as a man, whether they have decreased libido and erectile dysfunction. And some men don't want to admit that. And some men, you can even tell, even to me, they still don't want to admit that part. But when I ask some of the other leading questions like high cholesterol and depression and, hey, did you used to be competitive in sports? Yeah. Are you now? No. I used to be a very competitive golfer. Now I don't even care. You know, so you start talking to them about asking those questions like that, those leading questions, and then you can start talking about, so, okay, you say you don't have decreased libido, but what was, you know, your sex life, you know, when you were in your 20s or 30s with your wife? Oh, you know, we had sex every day. Well, how often do you have it now? Maybe once a month. Okay, well, that's a big change. Now, that being said, that could be a change on her part too, because, you know, we age together. So, you know, both people need to have their hormones balanced. And on that subject, usually what happens is that it's usually the woman that gets her hormones balanced first because of, you know, not feeling good, decreased energy, vaginal dryness, you know, painful sex, you know, and we'll tell them, it's like, how's your husband doing? And then we'll ask them the questions. It's like, well, does he, because this is another way too, Courtney, ask the wife. So how's your husband doing? Well, you know, he's depressed and he's gained weight and our sex life isn't very active anymore. He has erectile dysfunction. He has decreased libido. Sometimes the wife will tell you more than the husband will about it. Cause as men, we don't want to admit those kind of things. And, you know, I'm no different. I wouldn't want to admit those kind of things either. And so we'll tell her when we get hurt, when we balance her hormones, we'll say, you know, in about 8 weeks, you know, you better tell your husband to get ready because you're going to feel a lot better. And mm-hmm. that will prompt the men to go in. It happens all the time. That will prompt the men to go in. And I mean, I've had men that came into me and they said, Sean, I don't know what to do. I can't keep up my wife anymore. And, you know, they're in their 60s. This is like, yes, I love it. You know, and by the way, yeah. And by the way,
this is the best.
You know, you can do some research yourself, and I don't know the actual studies, and I'm not a big believer in studies anyway, but sex is very, very, very important. And if you are going to a doctor and you're in your 60s or 70s or 80s, I don't care what you are, and they say, you know what, as we age, sex just isn't any important, get a new doctor. I've got a 90-year-old patient, and he told me a few years ago, he said, Sean, if I can't have sex, He put a gun up to his head and said, put a bullet to my brain. And it's very, very important. There's nothing wrong with that. We were made to enjoy it. So nothing wrong with that. So here's the ice-breaking conversation I have with men. And I already kind of gave you some tips about some questions to ask, but I guess I talked about the men already, but let's talk about the women. Because so when I'm talking to women, you know, and obviously my wife, Janet, she is going to talk to women much different than I will, you know, they're probably going to be more open with her. But one thing I will do, so for any healthcare professional that's watching about these type of things, one of the things I'll do is like, look, you know, you can tell she's uncomfortable. Our most popular prescription that we compound up is estriol vaginal cream. It helps for atrophic vaginitis, which is basically dry vagina. And, you know, that can cause painful sex. Also, you know, it also prevents urinary tract infections. It also prevents urinary incontinence. Women, if you have urinary incontinence, if you have urinary tract infections, you do not need antibiotics. You do not need a drug to prevent the urinary incontinence. You need estrogen. That's why you have urinary incontinence. So don't take those drugs and have side effects. Get some topical vaginal estrogen twice a week and you will be much better. And not only that, the side effect is you have your vaginal dryness is gone and your painful sex is gone. Great side effect to have. So that being said, I'll talk to a lot of women about that. You know, you can tell that they want to ask some questions, but they're uncomfortable. So one of the things I will say is like, look, I talk hormones all day long. We talk hormones all day long here. I talk penises and vaginas all day long. And, you know, we'll kind of get a chuckle out of it. And then they'll say, okay, well, can I ask you this, you know, question? I'm like, sure. You know, and we get lots of detailed questions about, you know, application of the creams. And, you know, what about if my husband does this afterwards? And it's like, yeah, those are great questions. And we want to be open to answer those questions. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. And we want to make our patients feel comfortable asking those questions.
Absolutely. And, you know, it all comes down to people's personalities. You know, there's some people that'll walk right up to the counter, no filter, will talk to me. And, and you know, and I'm totally, you know, we're pharmacists. So to me, it's nothing. I mean, I remember when I first was right out of the gate of pharmacy school, you know, 25 years old, and some guy walks up to me, he's like, can I show you this rash I'm having? So I'm like, oh yeah, okay. So I like walk from around the counter and I'm like waiting for him to like pull up his sleeve, and he starts like unbuckling his pants, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like like, wait a minute. I guess the look on my face said it all. Like, well, I have underwear on, and I'm like, oh my god. And this is like in the middle of the lobby of the pharmacy. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, what is happening? But, you know, I mean, of course, over the years, I mean, yes, I'm comfortable talking about whatever with anybody. It's always on the receiving end. Who's comfortable coming up to me and saying, hey, I'm having this problem. You know, what do I do? Or even recognizing the people that you can tell, like by just like you said, looking at their medication history and looking at them and being like, hey, you know, I see you're filling your prescription, you know, for erectile dysfunction and a cholesterol med. Hey, have you gotten your testosterone levels checked? You know, there are those people like knowing your audience where I could totally comfortably say that to somebody and they would probably laugh and make a joke out of it and it would be banter and funny. But then there's also the people that would look at me like I had 10 heads and be like, yeah, I'm not talking about this with you, girl. But it is funny too, you know, when we, our compounding department used to be in the pharmacy. So it was like very much, we were all part of the same like line. And the owner of the pharmacy, one of the compounding pharmacists was there. And it was funny what people, you know, what guys would talk about with him versus coming up to me and talking about, you know, where I would kind of be listening in like earshot of what they'd be talking about. And I'm like, yeah, he would never come to me and talk to me about that, but you know, let them do their boy thing down there. But it all is knowing your audience. And yeah, there's, you know, we're pharmacists. We talk about it all. We've seen it all. So when people walk up and they actually feel like shy and nervous, like, you know, talk, I'm like, listen, lay it on me. I've heard it all. I've seen it all. There's not, just bring it. It's fine. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be shy. It's what I do. So, yeah, I know it's just more too of like, I love that we are talking about all of this because it makes me feel like, you know, almost like a reset for me of, you know, how to address these patients in the pharmacy to help them more, because it's something that, you know, something when it's not in your face, it's almost like when you, you know, I don't know, do some kind of study or go do a class or a webinar and you're like, wow, I forgot about this population of people, you know, like we're dealing with so many different illnesses every day of people coming in. And, you know, and this is a big one. It's a big one that affects so many things, you know, like you said, how many medications are we putting people on that they don't really need to be on if their testosterone levels are where they need to be? How many other medications would just be gone out of their life? And those other medications causing them side effects and symptoms, making them feel even worse than, you know, getting to that root cause.
A perfect example. Correct. And, you know, I think as we get more comfortable just asking some of those questions, it's easier for the patients to talk to us too, because they can recognize when we're comfortable about it. And let's say we do ask them, when you said, you know, you're on a cholesterol medication, you're on a drug for erectile dysfunction, have you had your testosterone checked? A common response will be, oh yeah, I did check, you know, 2 years ago and my doctor said it's normal. So let's talk about normal. What's normal? I'm not even going to use a reference ranges or I'm just going to use general numbers. So let's say a normal is 300 to 800, and it depends on what the lab is, on what normal is. Let's say that level is 300 to 800. So patient has all the low symptoms, the symptoms of low testosterone, erectile dysfunction, high cholesterol, decreased libido, weight gain around the middle, depression, you know, all those, you know, losing lean body mass, all those things. Well, yeah, my doctor said it's normal. Well, what was normal? Well, my level was 350. So normal is 300 to 800. And the patient's 55 years old. It's like, well, we got to think that his levels are less than they were when he was 35. So you ask him, were you having those symptoms when you were 35? Didn't have them at all. Well, what was their level when they were 35? We don't know. Well, I will tell you, I know 39-year-olds that have been on, that were on no testosterone and their levels were like 1250. So that's why it's important to get a baseline of your testosterone level too, when you're in your 30s, probably.
I was just going to say, so, what's a good age to get that baseline?
Yeah, 35. Yeah, between 30 and 40, but 35 probably. So you get your level checked and it's 1250 when you're 35 and you're not having any symptoms, but you get that base level checked. And then when you get to be 45, 50, all of a sudden you're having low testosterone symptoms, you went to the doctor, let's say your level's even 400 or 500 and you've got, you know, decreased libido, your sex life is in the toilet, you know, decreased competitiveness, you're gaining weight, all those symptoms. Well, 450 is not normal for you. You probably need to be 800 to 1200. And that's what I would argue with the doctor, is that normal is not optimal. So that's what's important, is that you have to have an optimal level. It's a normal level.
And I can see even the patients and even people that I know that have started on it more recently, how their lives have changed. Just energy levels. I'm just thinking of, obviously I would never call anybody out right now, but levels of definitely like that middle belly fat, energy levels where I wanted to be like, dude, what are you doing? Where I know what he's doing, but it's like a completely different person, the person I'm thinking of right now. So, you know, guys listening to this and the pharmacists and any kind of clinician that is listening to this, you know, encourage both men and women to get their levels checked, get their testosterone levels checked. And, you know, education is the key as always.
Yeah. I mean, my goal of, you know, has been at Moses Lake Professional Pharmacy is to educate and empower individuals to take charge of their own health. And part of that is hormones. So I educate them on hormones and, you know, hopefully they can understand how important it is to have their hormones optimized to have the best health.
It is. And you do such a great job at it. So I thank you so much for being on today and for all of this fantastic information. I hope people take it and run with it, whether they're patients, whether they're clinicians. You and Janet do amazing work every day with just so proud of your work, because, you know, the education portion is so important, and the taking the time to listen, to just listen to people and listen what's going on and give them the tools that they need, the resources that they need, is just so important in our healthcare system right now. So thank you for all of your work that you do. You're amazing.
Well, thank you, Courtney. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be on your podcast.
Thank you so much for being on. And we have to think of a good topic for next time, coming soon.
Yes, we do.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Find us on social media, on Facebook at The Wellness Pharma Chick, and online at our website, balancedwellnesssolutions.net. Check back weekly for new episodes. Until next time, take care of yourself and be well.